mighty in faith, and they will know Jesus as their Savior, and they will become mighty warriors for you in the future. So we pray that this would be a seed planted in their lives today. In Christ's name, amen. Going to talk for a minute about pride. Okay, I'm really proud to be talking about pride today. One of our lessons that we do in the men's accountability group is that it begins with saying that all men are born proud and self-sufficient. I don't know if that's really true, but I know that we had almost 40 guys here for the men's gathering, and they came in out of that room, and they came in here, and we all sat off by ourselves, and we were independent, at least where we sat. And it was a good day, but there's some scriptures that we're learning about pride. Number one, Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble is wisdom. Psalm 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. 2 Chronicles 32, but Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received because his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:12, for the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. So the definition of pride, on a simple definition that we have learned. Anybody, any of the guys remember? What's the definition of pride? I can do it by myself. That's the definition of pride. I don't need you. I don't need other people in my life. It's just me and God, and we're good. And everything's good between him and me, and I don't need you. I don't need other people in the body. I want to tell you this morning, you could go home after I say this if you really need to, okay? You ready? I didn't know if you were ready or not, but you cannot grow to maturity as a follower of Christ by yourself. You can't. So if you're trying to do it on your own, if you're disconnected from other believers, you are missing out on what God has for you as a follower of Christ. How's that for straightforward? Yeah, let's go have some pumpkin pie, right? That is what's on the table out there. But so yeah, pride says I can do it on myself, by myself. And yet, God says in Romans 12:5, so we who are many are one body in Christ. We are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are members of one another. We are on a team. If you could imagine having a team full of quarterbacks, what would that be like? Huh? Who said that? It wouldn't work very well. Even teams that have one quarterback doesn't work most of the time. Yeah, so, but we are members of one another. When Dr. Hendricks was a chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys back in the day when Tom Landry was the coach, and there were some pretty significant, I think, strong believers on the team, he would meet with the team a lot and have chapel services and encourage the men and teach them the Word of God and teach them what it means. But one of the things I remember him talking about was that at that moment in the NFL, which is, I think, heightened today by the million, multi-million dollar salaries and the kind of the I would say, disloyalty to the team, that you have people that'll, you know, their agents go and they get a new contract with another team and they move, and it's all about the individual. It's all about me. It's all about mine. I mean, I can think of a particular Seattle Mariner player that would have been really good playing for the Seattle Mariners, I think, but he opted to go to a team back on the East Coast with pinstripes, if you know who I'm talking about. And, on the other side of that, if I can mention Edgar Martinez, I feel like he stayed with the team the whole time, and he was loyal to the Mariners. And anyway, I don't know why I got off on that, but except that the Cowboys, one of the things that Dr. Hendricks would talk about in chapel with them was that you are a team. You are members of one another. And we need to understand that none of us, none of the team, can be successful alone. And so there's a scripture that says when one suffers, all suffer with them. And when one rejoices, all rejoice with them. There is a sense of membership, of connectedness in the body of Christ. And so what they did one time is one of the players on the team lost a close family member down in Florida. And so the team back then, which was important, decided to fly as a team to Florida in support of one of the members on the Cowboys team. And I don't know the names, but I know it really happened. And it came out of the fact that we are a team. We are members of one another. And it's very, very strategic and important for us to understand. So the body of Christ, the church, is composed of all those individuals who are what? Who come through the door of the church? The body of Christ, the church, is made up of individuals who are united to Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That just means that when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes welded to Christ, and he or she becomes part of the body of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And beginning with verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, there it is, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For, and here's the explanation, for by one, capital S, Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. So Paul is saying that if you are a believer in Christ and the Spirit of God has baptized you, has connected you, has put you into, immersed you in the church, then we are all individually members of the church. There is only one church in the world, the universal church, which is under the head of Christ. Okay, Christ is the head of the church, and the church is comprised of those who have been baptized or welded to Christ. And then in Romans 12:5, he says, So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So the Bible talks about three things. It talks about unity. Okay, there's the unity, the one church. Okay, we're not talking about this church, this local church, but there is in the world one church and only one. And so Romans chapter 12, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by many idols, however you had. Therefore, I am known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That might have been the wrong verse, sorry. and 12, verse 25, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So the Bible talks about the fact that there is only one body and there needs to be the unity of the body. But then there's the clear diversity of the body. So if you look at, you watch football, if some of you still watch football, I don't know if you do or not, but you have diversity on the team. You have tight ends and you have quarterbacks and you have tackles and guards and running backs, and you have the team made up of lots of different parts. And so you have one team with many parts. I love to watch football for that reason. I love to watch the interaction of the players. I love to see how teamwork happens, how leadership happens among the coaching staff. I love, even in the off season, the decision making that's going on with them. And so you have this one team, but you also have the diversity there. It's a huge task to lead a football team full of people making millions of dollars, in my opinion. So there's unity and diversity. But then in the church, there's this picture of mutuality, or the fact that we are members of one another. So yeah, we have a relationship with Christ that's vertical, but we live in a world like this. It's horizontal. And so I have some things that I would like to talk about today about mutuality, about the fact that we are members of one another. Romans 12:5 was one of them, and then Ephesians 4:25. So let's look at some points here this morning. You can jot these down if you want. The first thing is that no individual believer can function effectively by himself. You think, I do pretty good by myself. I'd just soon be by myself. I would just soon do it my own way and be on my own. But the scriptures really teach, like, for example, Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, right? You can't sharpen a knife without putting the knife next to another metal of some kind. And so the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And then he goes on to say, so one man sharpens another. You can't be a sharp knife on your own. You need to have that contact with another source. Ecclesiastes 4:9 and following says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. The Bible says two are better than one. You think one's good enough and you're good. The Bible says, well, you could do better than that. Two are better than one. And then it says, well, if one of them falls, what? The one will lift him up. The one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. We are members of one another. You may say, today I don't need anybody else. Someday you will need someone else. And God has arranged the body of Christ so that we really do meet one another's needs. We lift one another up when we fall in the ditch. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? It's such a beautiful picture, I think. And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. So that's wisdom from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. So, you and I cannot run the race. That talks about running the race with endurance. And when we get to the stage, the part about encouraging one another, we're going to talk more about the only way we can effectively run the race is that we have others who are encouraging us. The next point is that none of us will finish the race with endurance without a lot of encouragement from others. I just think sometimes we think we can do it ourselves and we struggle ourselves, and yet the reality that the Bible teaches is that none of us will finish the race that God has put before us without a lot of encouragement from other people. And that says, on one hand, we need encouragement. On the other hand, we need to encourage. That's part of the members of one another. And so if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16, it says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh. And what did he do? He encouraged him in God. Jonathan encouraged his friend David in God. And I will say this, that last week I talked about writing goals. Remember that? Anybody write down some goals this week? Did you? Man, that scares me to death. I think you guys need a different pastor here. So. No, I'm serious. We're not just talking about stuff, but I'm really, really hoping that you will write down some God-given goals. But even beyond that, I will tell you that having success, real success in the Christian life, in accomplishing the goals, the noble plans that God has given you, will never be accomplished without the help of other believers. Really. I mean, they really won't be accomplished at the same level. This is funny, and one of my goals, honestly, and I'm telling my wife this publicly, one of my goals this year is to fulfill her honey-do list. And I actually bought her this little deal that she can hang on the wall and she can write down things for me to do. And my goal, honestly, my heart is I want to do those things. Why are you laughing at me? thank you. But the point I'm making is that Kathy has some goals, and they involve me getting them done. So she can't fulfill her goals without some help. But that's how we all are. That's really how we all are. We can't do it by ourselves. God says we are members of one another, and sometimes we need things. I want to just say, tomorrow we're going up to watch the Bonhoeffer movie, and we bought a little Prius. And if any more of you want to come, we need a bigger car than a Prius. So I'm just going to say, I can't get everybody up there in our Prius. So if you want to loan me a car, I would be happy to take your car. And what's so funny? Well, we do. It's 15 passengers. So if we need 15 seats, yeah, I've already thought about that. So I'm kind of in between the Prius 4 or 5 to 10 range, but we'll see. All right, so none of us will finish the race with endurance without a lot of encouragement from others. And we'll talk about encouragement down the road. So we need each other. Remember, the next one is, no member of Christ's body should feel that he is more important than another member of Christ's body. So this has to do with feeling important, feeling good about the gifting that God has given me, feeling like I'm important or feeling like I'm not important. When it comes to feelings, God just wants us to be happy using the gifts that he has given us. So he uses the body imagery in 1 Corinthians, and every member of the human body is important. Like, for example, the eye. So try driving a car with your eyes closed. I told Kathy one time, we were going down the freeway, and I said, we need to pray. And I closed my eyes for a second. I was driving. It wasn't a really good idea. So try driving your car with your eyes closed. Try tying your shoes without your hands. Try getting a college degree without a brain. I thought that was funny. Try hunting for deer or elk without the ability to hear. I don't know why I looked at Emil. Try scratching an itch on your nose without your arms and hands and fingers. So every member of the body is important, and every member of the body really needs to be engaged in the blessing, the work of the church, local church. No one of us is more important than any other Christian. We are to be clothed in humility in our relationships with one another, which is the opposite of pride. This is one of the verses that I've memorized. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them, but it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So the Christ that we worship was a servant. He was one who didn't come to be served, but to serve. So our posture toward one another is to be clothed in humility. And then another one is that Christians should work hard at creating unity in the body of Christ. And I'm just saying, unity is really, really important. 1 Corinthians 12:2 says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so is Christ. Now I exhort you, brethren," 1 Corinthians 1, "by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." Ephesians 4:3, "being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So we need to do, this is translated, that means we need to do everything possible to keep misunderstandings from happening and divisions from erupting in the church. Amen? So when it comes to what we do as a church, I have a quote here from the commentary by John MacArthur on this section of scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12. He tells the story, he says, "After World War II, a group of German students volunteered to help rebuild an English cathedral that had been severely damaged by German bombs. As work progressed, they became concerned about a large statue of Jesus whose arms were outstretched and beneath which was the inscription, 'Come unto me.' They had particular difficulty trying to restore the hands, which had been completely destroyed. After much discussion, they decided to let the hands remain missing and changed the inscription to, 'Christ has no hands but ours.'" Isn't that powerful? And I believe that. I believe with all my heart that we must be engaged in the work of the ministry. We must put our oar in the water with others. We must, as individuals, do what we can to help strengthen the church. It's critical. It's not optional. It's critical that every member find their place in the body of Christ, and that we understand that we are members of one another. I mean, just watch what happens when a center for one of the football teams at a critical point snaps the ball and snaps it over the top of the quarterback. Have you seen that a couple times with the Seahawks? That's one member not doing their job. And so, and the team loses the ball or, you know, has to punt, and the whole game changes because of one person. So it's critical that every part of the body function and do the part that they have. I'd like to have you turn back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, if the whole body were quarterbacks, if the whole team were made up of one gifting, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? And then verse 22. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, If you think of the human body, there are some organs in the body that you can't see that aren't very important, but they are necessary for the health of the body. So on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And then verse 23, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable are on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. So there's just this diversity in the body, but that we are mutually members of one another. So a little bit more about this idea. God created us with great potential, but it will never be achieved apart from the help of other men. If there's anything you remember today in what we have said, is we are members of one another, and you will never achieve the potential that God has for you apart from other believers. If you're not in a small group, if you're not in a friendship conversation, if you're not in a relationship that encourages your growth and challenges your sin and causes you to become a stronger Christian, if you're not in that, then you will never reach the potential that God has for you. And then I've already said we will not finish the race with endurance without a lot of encouragement. So Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us consider, let us think about. So I have this picture, and I didn't bring it with me today, but it's pretty simple. If I had a box, and in the box was a whole bunch of marbles, and, you know, and then I kind of shook it around. Well, inside the box, you know that the marbles are bouncing off of each other, aren't they? They're just rattling. They're bouncing. And not one marble is changed. It's just this bouncing off of each other inside the box. That's not the church. The church doesn't call us to come in and sit and go home without something happening in the body, without those relationships that God has established. Maybe a better illustration, although it's kind of messy, would be to have a box full of grapes. And if you shake the box, the grapes will split and they will kind of ooze. And, you know, that's really the church. As members of one another, we are meant to relate to one another, to be broken, to be involved with each other. So let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own, not forsaking. And this is, according to what we've been learning, this is very, very strong language where the writer of Hebrews says, not in any way, never. It's like negative, negative, negative. He couldn't have said it any more strongly than this. He said, not forsaking ever, never our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so that's the direction, I think, that we need to continue to move as a church, that we will gather together, that we will be not be marbles in a box, but that we will get to know each other, we will build friendships with one another, and probably get off of our cell phones a little bit. I know that my mom and dad, when they were up at the assisted living place in Oak Harbor where they lived, my brother would bring his kids up to see them, and other grandkids would show up, and it was back in the day when laptops and cell phones were really just getting started, I think it's a great picture. My dad got really ticked at them. Not like he didn't hate them. He just really could not stand the fact that they had driven all the way from Oregon up to see him and see my mom. And their whole attention was on somewhere else. There was not the members of one another connections. Amy works at PCLI, and she only works part-time so she can keep her nursing degree active. Maybe someday she'll work more again. But so she would go, and she hasn't been around her colleagues there, her fellow workers much. And then they would work all day on the day that she was there, and then they'd all go in the lunchroom. And she was saying, man, I just really hope we can have some good conversations and catch up with each other and have a good visit during lunch. And then she said every one of them around the table was on their cell phone, every one of them. And so it wasn't where they were, it was they were all someplace else. And God says we are members of one another. That's okay. I'm not trying to scold you. I'm just saying God says the body of Christ is made up and we are members. We are on the same team, and we need to get to know and encourage and strengthen one another. And we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come, but the most important one today is that we are members of one another. And even the Apostle Paul, when he talked about the church in Thessalonica as the apostle that he was, the one who came and brought the gospel to them, he says, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. As a father would his own children. That's what we were doing with you. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. I don't know, do we have that mindset? Do we need to shift? Do we need to get better at that? Anybody need to get better at that? Yeah, we're not marbles. We're not marbles in a box. We are members of one another. We are on a team together. And we need to look at each other in a different way, I think, if that's the case. So I think that's what I had to share today. That's where we'll stop, okay? We are dependent on one another. We're dependent. We're not independent. We are dependent on other members in the body. That's what we learn from the scriptures. Amen? All right. So a couple of announcements. I want to encourage you to, and I didn't see those in the bulletin, so we better not do that. So this coming Wednesday, the men are going to meet at Navavine Diner at 7 a.m., and so I know some of you are coming, and it's just kind of an informal just before Thanksgiving. And I've already talked to the Deanna at the diner, and so she knows we're going to take over the back room. And we're going to have breakfast together at 7 a.m. That's when they open. So, right? Well, it's 7. No, we meet normally at 6 here, but the diner doesn't open till 7 this week, so 7 o'clock at the diner, and just we want to be a blessing to them. I just think wherever we go, we should be the light of Christ and pray for and encourage people in their businesses. So we're going to do that this Wednesday at 7. And then I know Luann talked about the cookie plates. Do you have any more to say? I know she's got her notebook. And this is great. This is a way for us to bless and be nice to and show Christ's love to the businesses in Winlock by giving them lots of sugar. Yeah. Go ahead.
Good. I'm glad you're not handing me that microphone. Okay. You guys can hear me, right?
Yes.
I talk pretty But this, I'm going to leave this folder.